It's Lake Effect from WUWM. 16 lynchings have taken place in Wisconsin's history. On September 6, 1861, George Marshall Clark was lynched on the northwest corner of Buffalo and Water Streets in Milwaukee, becoming the only black victim of lynching in the city. Clark was only 22 years old when he was killed. Tyrone Randall is an artist and activist in Milwaukee who learned more about Clark during this past summer's Black Lives Matter marches. Wanting to pay tribute to Clark, Randall went to Forest Home Cemetery to find his final resting place. Randall discovered that Clark's is one of hundreds of unmarked graves in a public burial section. He got help from Forest Home Cemetery sales counselor Garen Morris in locating the gravesite. Now they're working on memorializing Clark properly with a marker. Both Randall and Morris join me to share more, and Randall starts with how he first came across George Marshall Clark's story.
I found out initially about George Marshall Clark back in college. I went to MIAD. They didn't have any studies or courses that were based in Black history. So I had to do an independent study, and through that I came across Marshall's story that way. I ended up getting hit by a car early June while being detained by officers during a protest outside of 5th District. And then not being able to protest, I kind of felt guilty about not being out in the streets, and I decided to plan a march in Marshall's honor. Before doing that, I wanted to pay my respects and to come and visit his grave. And that's what led to the finding of the march.
Yeah, so you came to Forest Home this past summer, of course, in the midst of the city's protests. And what led you to Forest Home? What kind of research did you do to lead you there?
My partner, she did a research through Google, and just a quick Google search on Find a Grave, and it just popped up. It was really kind of surprising how easy it really was to actually get the plot and information that way.
That is kind of surprising. So, Garen, we'll bring you into this. You're a sales counselor at Forest Home, but what compelled you to be part of this process? And, you know, were you prepared for a deep dive into Forest Home records? Was this something you had done before at any other point in time?
When Tyrone first came in, he was asking me to find the exact location of the site. And I gave him what we would give just about anybody at that moment, which is just simple maps and a direction to the location. I had led him to the correct area. I believe I was in the middle of doing something else at the time. And on my travels back to the office, I found Tyrone and his associate wandering around looking and not finding what they were looking for. So came back, talked to Tyrone for a few minutes. He gave me a little bit more information. I came back to the office, did a little bit more research, found some other adjacent grave sites. And Tyrone and his associate that were out there at that day were kind enough to inform me who we were looking for after a little while. And we were able to bear it down. I think I was within a foot of the correct spot from what my ground superintendent told me. Then Tyrone and I had a fairly long conversation about the gentleman that had passed, and I came back into the office and did my own little bit of research after that because I was interested.
So you mentioned it was hard to find unmarked. Was it common, even though you could find the location at first, but not anything more specific, did Forest Home keep records of a lot of people who were buried but without markers? Is that common in trying to find certain plots and how the Forest Home is organized? I know it's an extensive grounds.
Well, any grave site here, we know where they are. There are many unmarked, especially going back in the 1800s like this was. There are hundreds and hundreds of them that are unmarked. Tyrone and I happened to be lucky enough that there was a headstone, what'd you say it was, Tyrone, about 20 feet away?
Yeah, about 20 feet.
Step off from there. Mm-hmm. In that section, there wasn't too many other headstones. It was a public burial area where a lot of them were city assistants.
Based off of the marker that was about 20 feet away, what kind of tools did you use and documents were you able to utilize in order to narrow from that other marker where George Marshall Clark was buried.
So the first day we came out, we actually, like before even talking to Garen, we had like pieces of paper and pencils, and we were just like scribbling to see if we can get names off of any of the headstones at all that you know, maybe matched Marshall or maybe the date. We didn't have any success with that. So then I did ask Garen for like a list of names that would be located next to Marshall. And that's how we kind of came up with that, the headstone that led us to, I guess, what did you do, Garen? You like kind of foot by foot walked, like measured, foot over foot.
Years of experience is what I call it. I've been doing this for pushing 30 years. And we had started with a lot card. So we were able to take the map of the Section 17, and we knew where George Marshall was. And inside George Marshall's area, there are 10 actual burial sites. And then we went to another lot card adjacent, which had burial sites. We were able to find a headstone, like we said, about 20 feet or so away. And then I stepped it off literally foot by foot, just knowledge that each grave site's approximately one stride. And then later, after I believe Tyrone had come out and actually done a march out here and marked the site, my ground superintendent went out with tape measures and everything else and figured out that I was real close to dead on, if not right on the spot.
So you were able to use tools that have been at Forest Home and in the industry since day one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Every space here is allocated exactly. Interment records at the cemetery going back were all, of course, hand paperwork. All of that has, a good majority of it has been put into computer form today. Actually, after Tyrone had left and we had discussed so much out there, I had actually come back into the office and pulled another little card that is an old interment slot card, we call them. That gave me something called a folio number, which gives us his name, date of birth, date of death, and what he died from. And in there, it actually lists him as murdered.
That to me seems like it would be uncommon to acknowledge that a black man was murdered.
I personally, it's one of the few I've seen in there that say murdered.
With these tools, you're able to find a record of internment, cause of death, but yet it's an unmarked grave. So, Garen, you know, what were some of the potential reasons that Mr. Clark's grave was left unmarked at the time of his burial after he was lynched?
When you look at today's market of what headstones cost, to many families, it's very difficult to come up with that after you've already had to deal with doing a burial and the finances there. It was just as hard for families way back then. A headstone may have only been $5-$10. $5-$10 back then was a lot of money. And the family probably either didn't have it, or as we might guess, they might not have wanted the public knowing where he was placed.
Mm-hmm. Maybe his family left, right? You know, not soon after he was murdered. So it's kind of suspected that they didn't even actually attend the funeral.
And with it being a public burial from the looks of it, it's probably assisted by the state or city. I would guess if they left that soon after, monuments aren't done, or markers of any sort aren't done quickly. Even in today's society, these are 3 months, sometimes longer, before it's made and placed. If they took off quickly afterward, could be the whole reason they never got a chance to mark it.
Tyrone, how did you feel when you finally found George Marshall Clark?
It was emotional, I think. For me to be someone who can be considered, a victim of police brutality, and then to read Marshall's story and to know that, like, it's suspected that the cops had something to do with, you know, what happened to him because of there only being one officer or very few officers working during the time that a black man supposedly murdered a white man. And during the time of the Civil War, that was huge. So for me, it just touched me. I was overwhelmed with emotion.
And Garen, you know, out of all the work you've done at Forest Home over the years, how has this impacted you personally?
Well, Tyrone and I kind of talked quite a bit out there that day, and I came back to this office and immediately looked up on Google what Tyrone had told me about so I could understand more about this man, and just drew me more into the story myself, because these aren't stories you get every day at the cemetery. I love knowing more about the people here. And Mr. Clark's another huge story in our cemetery that needs to be known for multiple reasons. History, for where we've come, where we've come from. And just, you know, history repeats itself if you don't know it. And we need to know the history of what has happened in this city, in this state, in this country.
I mean, and speaking of that, Garen, we know Andre Nicholson was just murdered outside of Site 18, which is the exact spot where Marshall was murdered.
Really?
So his story is like very, very layered. You know, Milwaukee was founded in 1846. His murder occurred, 15 years after the founding of the city. It happened 7 years after the escape of Joshua Glover. And Forest Home Cemetery itself, founded in 1850, is arguably one of the oldest cemeteries that allowed blacks and whites to be buried together.
I've been in this industry a long time, and I'm half Hispanic. There are cemeteries I've worked at that I've seen the paperwork that says for Caucasian use only.
Mm-hmm.
Going all the way up through the 60s, when they finally deleted most of that. This is one of the only cemeteries that existed from almost day one would allow anyone.
When it comes to sharing Milwaukee history like this, people aren't taught it regularly. It's a darker history. It's not as widely shared. Sometimes it's inaccurately shared. So what do you want other people to know and think about in Milwaukee when they hear this story that we are discovering George Marshall Clark again?
I guess even in bringing it to light, it's about healing. I guess can't really heal from things that aren't acknowledged. And for this country, or really for this state, to be one that is, you know, the worst demographically for Black people to be raised, and the worst when it comes to Black bodies, it's about healing. And it's about, you know, this city, I guess, telling the truth about what it is that occurs here, and where it comes from, and how these systems have been around. Like, we're a state founded on bloodshed and racism. And that needs to come to light in order for it to change.
And since you've found the grave, Tyrone, you started a GoFundMe for donations to place a proper marker on Clark's grave. So how would you like to see a physical marker serve as a new memorial for Clark to keep on telling his story?
I think it's important for people to be able to visit and to really, really connect to the figures that we learn about. For me to show up at the cemetery and there not to be anything there, that was and for the story to be talked about as much as it was, or there to be all of these articles and all of this research done on them, but there to be no headstone. It was just really, really, really appalling. So I think it's important for people to be able to visit. It's a little bit more tangible of an idea when you can see a headstone.
And Garen, you obviously have a unique relationship with Forest Home in a way that most people don't think of cemeteries or would be connected with them. How do you like to see this story bring more people, not just to Forest Home, but you've seen yourself hundreds, thousands of names written in all your logs of people buried, but they're not the everyday people that people remember in history, in Milwaukee history.
I look at it well beyond just the historical figures and the major stories. Leaving a person unmarked is heartbreaking to me. All too often, headstones I help with today, I'm always telling people that dash in the middle is your life story. We need to try and tell it somehow. And it's actually a blessing in some ways that Tyrone is looking at this so many years later, because I'm hoping the headstone that he helps create for this will tell the story, not just a date of birth, a date of death. Tell the dash. Somehow tell the dash. Because that's the life we live.
Tyrone Randall is an artist and community activist in Milwaukee, and Garen Morris is a sales counselor at Forest Home Cemetery in Milwaukee. They both join me to speak about finding the unmarked grave of George Marshall Clark and their plans to put a marker on that site. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.